baby. He's my brother.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here. Now, it's very hard to imagine, but on Sunday, it was my lovely, dear, darling friend Gary, Michael Menzies, 1 year anniversary. So 1 year ago on the 11th of March, sadly, my co-host Gary passed away in a tragic accident at Kerikeri Beach. So for all of those people who enjoyed listening to Gary for the previous, 25 years, please spare a thought for him, say some prayers, a rosary, and even offer up a mass for Gary, because I certainly will be doing it this week. I miss him so much. But that's just me being jealous, because I know that he's in a great place. I don't know if I have told you, or if you heard, it's worth repeating again. My little grandson, who absolutely adored Gary, was four. And about a week or two after Gary died, he came out and told his mother, "I saw Gary last night, Mummy." And my daughter said, oh, that's lovely. So where was he? He was in heaven with Jesus. Oh, and what was he doing? Praying the rosary. So Gary was devoted to the Holy Rosary. He wore one round his neck, though you would never have known it because he kept it hidden. He certainly prayed it every day, and he knew the promises, the 15 promises of the rosary for people who say it devoutly. So certainly Our Lady told Sister Lucia that she had the rosary more efficacious, more powerful, particularly for these times, because there's no doubt about we live in a world, a suffering world, full of brokenness and awash with sin. And certainly over the centuries, the power of the rosary has come forth every time. In fact, Father Don Calloway has written a fantastic book about the power of the rosary. I'm sorry the name just escapes me at the moment. I'll make sure I have it next week. And it is quite a big book, a couple of hundred pages. And it's quite a recent book where he goes through every single century since the 1200s when Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic, and how different priests and the different people who have use the rosary and the incredible powers and Our Lady's graces that have come about through praying the rosary. So what we're going to do today, oh, by the way, I have got my own website, which I had designed a couple of years ago. I'm a graphic designer, so I did all the design, the layout, the colours, wrote the copy, most of the photographs are mine, but I have no idea how to set up a website, and I was introduced to a fantastic website designer, Dan Lim, a wonderful Catholic from Christchurch, and he put it all together for me, and it is quite beautiful. So please check it out. So it's www.FatimaRosaryPledge.com. I'll say that again. Check it out, please. www.FatimaRosaryPledge.com. It's quite gorgeous. And everyone who makes a pledge, I send a personal email to them. So there's no counter on it, but it doesn't really matter. The pledge is between you and God, Our Lady, and Our Lord. Anyway, so here's just some of the things which are actually on that website. So there is a solution. Our Lady of Fatima's peace plan from heaven. If people do what I tell them, there will be peace. And one day, through the rosary and the scapular, I will save the world. That's what she told St. Dominic back in the 1200s. Pope Pius IX said the rosary is the answer. And of course, the late, great Pope John Paul II, always had a rosary in his hand and always said, "This is the answer." Now, a colleague of the late Father Amorth, who was the chief exorcist of Rome, he died a year or so ago, overheard the devil. "Every Hail Mary is like a blow to my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. So I'm just going to do a couple of examples throughout history where the power of the rosary was indeed extremely beneficial to the people. So in Austria in 1945, now this is just after World War II, Europe was in total disarray, ruins, many of the cities, and Austria at the end of the war was actually occupied by four nations, Russia, Britain, France and the US. Now the post-war conditions in Austria were fraught, to say the least. Food was in short supply and the industries, especially in the mineral-rich area occupied by the Russians, were not being well managed. And the Austrian people desperately wanted to regain their independence. But how could a small country like Austria expel a communist nation the size of Russia? Now, one Father Petrus Pavlicek was a Capuchin priest, and he visited the Marian shrine, the main one for Austria, Marizel, to seek Our Lady's counsel. Now, it was the 2nd of February, which, of course, is the Feast of Our Lady of Lights and the Feast of Our Lady of Purification. And as he prayed, Father Petrus heard an inner voice say to him, "Do as I say, and you will have peace." Immediately, Father remembered how the Rosary Crusade had helped Christendom defeat the greatest enemy it had ever faced. On October the 7th, 1571. So in September 1948, Father Petrus began the Crusade of Reparation of the Holy Rosary through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, this crusade had three aims. One was the conversion of sinners. Two, peace in the world. Three, freedom for Austria. Now, the Bishop of Leyra, Portugal, helped Father Petrus secure a pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima by the very same artist who actually made the original pilgrim statue. Father Petrus' intention was to storm heaven as soldiers storm a fort, with Holy Mass and Rosary processions a central part of his plan. He was also deeply concerned about souls and spent literally days at a time in the confessional. Perhaps the most impressive part of Father's plan was to get a tithe, 10% of Austrians, to pledge to pray the Holy Rosary every day. Now, after a fairly slow start, more and more people began to join in, and even the Prime Minister, Leopold Fiji, and members of the Cabinet joined. The Rosary processions were held each month on the 13th, and they became so big it was decided to hold an annual one in Vienna on the 12th of September to commemorate the city's very famous victory over the Turks in 1682. It was sort of another Lepanto type of battle. Prime Minister Leopold always led the annual procession. Great example. Anyway, there were protracted peace negotiations, which included 260 meetings in London to try and free Austria from being under these four nations and to gain its independence. So, and there was always a representative of each of these nations, plus a representative of Austria, but the 60 meetings never made much progress. However, eventually 10% of Austrians, so 700,000 people of the 7 million in the country, were praying the rosary every single day. And Our Lady, of course, is a faithful mother. On the 13th of May 1955, that was 7 years after Father Petrus started his campaign, the four occupying countries finally agreed to withdraw from Russia. The agreement was signed 2 days later. The very last communist soldier left Austria on the 26th of October 1955 without one single shot being fired. Austria had achieved the unthinkable. When you consider that this was during the Cold War, when Russian aggression and religious persecution were actually at their highest, it is even more miraculous and confirms it could never have happened without the intervention from Our Lady and Our Lord. exactly 1 year later, on the 13th of May 1956, Austria held its first independent elections. So pretty amazing. And as always, the 13th of May is a very important date for Our Lady, particularly of Fatima. It was the first apparition of Our Lady to the three young children, Saint Francisco, Saint Jacinta, and Sister Lucia. Now, there is also the very famous interview between Sister Lucia and Father Fuentes, which took place in 1957. Now, Father Fuentes, or Father Augustin Fuentes, he was the vice postulator for the cause of beatification of the two children who had died, Jacinta and Francisco. So this is what Sister Lucy said to him. "Look, Father, the Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us and of our families, and families of the world or in religious communities, or even of the life of peoples and of nations, that cannot be solved by praying the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that cannot be solved by praying the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves, we will sanctify ourselves, we will console our Lord and obtain the salvation of many souls." Now, I mentioned a moment earlier Lepanto, the great battle on the 7th of October, 1571. So here's a little bit of background about this battle. It was the greatest naval battle that Christendom had experienced, none like it since. So it pitted the entire forces of Christendom, the Holy League, against the most formidable and determined enemy of the Turks. The victory at Lepanto is one of the most significant events in the Catholic Church's 2,000-year history. The Holy League, under the command of Philip II of Spain, half-brother, 22-year-old Don Juan of Austria, stopped the eastern foe from overrunning Christian Europe. Now just think about that. A 22-year-old was in command of these thousands of men. Now, in September, Pope Pius V appealed to all of Christendom, but especially to the convents and religious houses around Rome, to double their prayers in order that the Holy League would be victorious. The Pope gave every ship a small piece of the true cross, and as the Armada put out to sea, the Papal Nuncio blessed each ship as it sailed by. And while they waited for the battle to begin, Don Juan heeded the Pope's suggestion and enforced a very strict code of conduct on his men. No women were allowed on board, and Don Juan and all his officers and crew fasted for 3 days. Every one of his 81,000 men, officers, crew, and even galley slaves and received Holy Communion. Teams of Jesuits, Franciscans, Capuchins, and Dominican priests worked around the clock for days to accomplish this mammoth task. The galley slaves, many of whom were considered the scum of the earth, were unshackled and taken to the nearby Jesuit college so they too could receive the sacraments. Immediately before the battle, Don Juan, with a crucifix raised aloft, circled his fleet to offer a final sign of encouragement. His frigate sailed under the standard of Our Lady of Guadalupe, whereas the Pope's fleet sailed under the image of Christ crucified. The Turks' 286 galleys far outnumbered the Holy League's 208, but many attribute the Catholics' resounding victory to the behaviour of the men and the intersection of Our Blessed Mother and her Holy Rosary. The Turks lost 224 ships and 25,000 men, and 10,000 Christian slaves were freed. Pope Pius was working in the Vatican just as the battle concluded when something drew him to the open window. He knew instantly that the Holy League had prevailed. To commemorate the great battle in the history of the Church, Pope Pius V designated October the 7th Feast of the Holy Rosary and Feast of Our Lady of Victory. Okay, we've just gone past 3 o'clock Divine Mercy time. So it's time for this lovely prayer that Our Lady gave to Saint Faustina. And we just do a little bit of a shortened version here of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So it's a wonderful prayer. It shows you the mercy of God, and it's a fantastic prayer to say when somebody is dying. It really is very comforting. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator in heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived in the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated by the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fabulous organization in Auckland, Family Life International, who you can ring and you can go online and find that. So Family Life International, FLI. And there will be a kind, caring voice on the end of the phone to be able to talk with you and to help you make some good choices for you and for your baby. So if you're worried, please give them a ring, and their trained counsellors will be able to talk through your situation with you. And you can go in and see them in their offices in Mount Roskill. They provide all sorts of practical help, from, you know, even accommodation, sometimes help with practical issues and finances, perhaps baby clothing, cots, push chairs, car seats, so all sorts of things, even nappies, milk powder and wipes, all sorts of things, everything for the baby. They are there to support mothers and babies. So fabulous organisation. So talking about the power of the rosary, there's no doubt whatsoever that the world is being attacked on every front, whether it's on a national or an international level, between religions and ideologies, and even right inside our own homes sometime. Now this attack seems to be increasing, and it's becoming clear that a supernatural weapon will bring the world back from the brink of utter devastation, that's for sure. So the world desperately needs peace, and Our Lady of Fatima has the ultimate peace plan from heaven, her Holy Rosary. Just imagine the power of graces unleashed from heaven if 10% of the world's 1.3 billion Catholics pledged to pray the Holy Rosary every day, or even for a week or a month or a year. And let's not forget that many non-Catholics pray the Holy Rosary as well. So what the world needs really is an international rosary crusade, a tithe. Now, interestingly, I wrote that quite a few years ago, but all around the world, country by country, we are seeing people rise up and having rosary crusades. The first one was last year on this anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto, the 7th of October. Poland gathered 1 million people around its borders and prayed the rosary. Now, since then, we have had Ireland. There were 30,000 people. London always does a rosary crusade. Canada has done one. The UK is planning one on the 29th of April. So that is Scotland, Wales and England. We also see France is planning one on the 28th of April. Australia is planning a rosary crusade on the 13th of May, that wonderful anniversary of Our Lady's first apparition at Fatima. So wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic if New Zealand were able to organise their own rosary crusade? Now, I mentioned a little bit about Sister Lucia talking to Father Fuentes. And Sister Lucy said to him, how long is it until 1960? Now, this is when the secret was meant to be released. Our Lady was sad because no one listened to her message. In fact, the children never actually saw her smile. A chastisement is imminent, Sister said. The devil was in a mood for a final battle with Our Lady. We would all have to take sides, either we were for God or for the devil. And Sister Lucy's mission was to warn people that if they persisted in their sins, they would lose their souls. Our Lady did not actually say it, but the children understood that these were the last times or the end of an era. In fact, Pope Benedict said that he was asked once, are you the last pope of this era or the first pope of a new era? And he said, no, he was the bridge between the Christian Europe and the de-Christianized Europe. And you can certainly see we are looking at a de-Christianized Europe. So, however, our Lord in his mercy was exhausting all means to ensure our salvation. He gave humanity two last weapons, and after these there would be no more: the Holy Rosary and also devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there, and please tune in next week to hear the rest of that interview by Sister Lucy and Father.